I didn't know I could do that. Yeah. All right. If you would, take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 2. And the children may be dismissed at this time to children's church. Am I on? Can y'all hear me in the back? All right. Good deal. Galatians 2. We're going to begin reading down in verse 15 through the end of the chapter. As you're turning there, I'd like to say that I covet your prayers this week. I will be flying out this evening, going down to Dallas and be down there for evangelism and for the Harvest America at AT&T Stadium in Dallas next Sunday. And just pray that the Lord will use. We'll be on the street all week, Brother Scott. So I'm excited about it to see what God's going to do, the souls that will be reached. But you pray for me that God will, and for those that are involved, that God will get the gospel out to many that need it, and that many would be saved and brought into the faith. If you would now take your Bible, turn with me to Galatians 2, and stand with me in honor of God's word now that you're there. We're picking up in the middle of Paul's discourse with Peter, and in verse 15, he says, "We who are Jews by nature, not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. Or God forbid, or may it never be. For if I build up again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain." Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you for this wonderful truth that we've been justified by Christ, not by our works. We thank you for the truth that you now live in us. And we thank you for the truth that you live out through us. Lord, we know that it's all about you. I pray this morning you would take these words, you'd take your holy word, you would apply it to our heart by your Holy Spirit. Lord, would you empower me to preach only what you once said, in Jesus' name, amen. This morning we're talking about Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. And what an amazing truth that is. But the way this breaks down, Paul, in his conversation with Peter. Now, remember, we talked about this last week. There's been a division in the church in Antioch. And Peter's practice, he had come up there to visit. But his practice in that church that was split between Jews and Gentiles did not match what he had preached. His behavior did not match his belief. And so Paul calls him out and says, "Peter, you're acting like a hypocrite because you're dividing yourself with those who were saying that you had to do something extra to be approved in the sight of God. You had to do something more than trust in Christ. You also had to become a Jew." And Peter, the Bible says, in this case, the great man of God that he was, the Bible says, Paul says, out of fear of these that had come up from Jerusalem, he separated himself from the Gentile believers and would only eat with the Jewish believers, and Paul called him out for it. We talked about that last week. But now we come to the end of this chapter, and Paul gives three great truths about our position in the Lord Jesus. Three great truths about the fact that we live by faith alone. I want to give them to you quickly, and we'll talk about them. First of all, we are justified by faith. You know that, but write it down. Justified by faith in Christ, and in Christ alone. It's by faith in what he's done. Secondly, we are identified with Christ. We are identified with Christ. We're identified with his crucifixion, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We'll talk about that some more in just a moment too. And finally, we are sanctified by faith. Sanctified by faith in Christ, not by our work. In fact, Paul later on, he says, "Do you suppose that having begun in the Spirit, you're now made perfect by your own work, by the flesh? That what God began in you, you can now complete?" And the fact of the matter is that we live our lives completely in faith in Jesus. Let's look at it together again. Verse 16. Paul said that we know that a man's not justified by the works of the law, but solely by faith in Jesus Christ. He goes on to say that the law can only condemn us. It can only reveal what we have done wrong. I'm not going to spend a whole long time here this morning because we introduced it last week, but the fact of the matter is that your standing before the Lord is not based on what you've done. It's based solely on what Jesus has done for you. Is based solely on the fact that he bore your sin. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. And then he gave you his righteousness, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Our justification before the Lord is solely based on who Jesus is and on his perfect, complete work. And so Paul says here that he's dead to the law. First, in verse 17, after, notice again, let me back up to verse 16. He says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law." That's the second time he said it. You ever think preachers repeat things? You may have come across one time or two that I said the same thing. It's because all we're saying is what God has said. And by the way, what God has said, he often repeats. Maybe that's because it takes a little while for it to sink in, huh? You see, we tend to think that we have to do something. We were talking this last week, on Wednesday night, about the difference between childlike faith and faith that thinks it has to do something. And in the Gospel of Mark, there were two different groups that came. There was this one group that brought the children. The disciples tried to push them away because they didn't want them to bother Jesus. But Jesus said, "No, let the little children come to me. Don't forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of God." And then he said, "I tell you, except you come like a little child, you won't enter the kingdom of God." A little child comes bringing nothing with him or her. A little child comes simply coming to be with the person that they are coming. Now, they may bring something, a picture or something like that, but there's no works that they're doing to try to earn favor. They're simply coming in simple childlike faith. That was the picture that Jesus was painting. But in the very next section in Mark, this other man comes. And he comes and he calls Jesus a good teacher. But then he says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" He didn't come like the children, just simply coming in simple faith to Jesus. He came saying, "What must I do?" And the whole rest of it, he's justifying everything that he's done, saying, "I kept the law. I've done everything perfectly," until Jesus pointed his finger. He loved him, and he pointed his finger at the one area that was evident the man was not keeping the law. The man was greedy at heart. And so he pointed his finger there and was trying to get him to see his need. But the Bible says the man went away sorrowful. You see, some people come to faith the only way you can come to faith. Some people come to Christ by faith, simple faith in who he is. Other people come and they want to try to prove themselves to be worthy enough. And they use the law to do so. But the law will never prove you worthy. The law will only condemn you. And that's what Paul repeats here in Galatians chapter 2. Three times he says, we're not justified by works, but by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, verse 17, he starts to move to our identity in Christ. You see, it appears that some of the people that had come up from Jerusalem were saying this to Peter. They were trying to convince Peter that Peter was sinning by eating with the Gentiles who had not converted and become identified as Jewish believers. They were simply remaining as Gentile believers. They were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they were keeping their identity as Gentiles. What these men were saying is, listen, you can't eat with Gentiles because, and we went into this last week, because of all these traditions that had occurred over the years, you can't eat with Gentiles, and so Peter, you're sinning. So they would have said, yeah, we're justified by Christ, but it's also by something that we do. We're made perfect by something that we do. So Paul paraphrases their question. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? What Paul is saying is that even if we do sin while we're trusting in Christ, is now that made Christ some sort of sinner himself? Is he now brought down to our level? And Paul's saying, absolutely not. May it never be. 100% no. Jesus is sufficient. Their question really goes to this. After I've trusted in Christ, is it up to me? Is it up to me to work it out? You know, in the Christian life, we know the truth, but oftentimes we do not practice it, right? We know what we should do, but a lot of times we don't do what we should do. Sometimes, like Peter, we're a hypocrite. We may preach one thing and we may practice something else. Is it up to me to work out my salvation? Well, Paul said in Philippians, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And some people like to end there. But it keeps going. It says, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. What Paul was saying is simply yield to God, follow the Lord. And what Paul's saying here is the same thing, that it's not our work that either justifies us, and we know that, but it's also not our works that sanctify us. It's God's work in us and through us. It's all of him. You don't have to work up the gumption to live the Christian life. All you have to do is surrender to the Lord on a day-by-day basis. It's the same thing. It's by faith in who he is and what he's done. So we're justified by faith, but notice what Paul does. To drive it home, he says we're identified with Christ. Verse 20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. He's saying, I identify myself with Christ. Now, anybody here check up on the Hogs this weekend, the baseball Hogs? Nobody? Shame on y'all. I mean, okay. Yeah, I checked on them. They're 2-0, right? Hopefully they knock off whoever wins this afternoon's game. They knock them off and go on to the Super Regionals. Now, if you go up there to Fayetteville, what are you going to see? Red. A whole bunch of identities, right? We identify with the things that we like. We say we support things that we like. The reason I brought up baseball is because I grew up an Atlanta Braves fan, and rightfully so. I became an Atlanta Braves fan in 1991 when they started going to the World Series. Perfect time to become an Atlanta Braves fan, by the way. last few years, I still have liked the Braves, but, you know, they've been kind of at the bottom of the rung, and so that Braves hat kind of slips further and further back in the closet, you know. Start looking around and saying, well, who actually can win? Who's the winning team? Never the Yankees, you know, but this year they're doing better. But I want to tell you a story about one time when I lived up in Chicago. I had a chance to go to a White Sox game. Some friends of mine and I, we got some tickets. We went down to the White Sox game. Now, I was never a White Sox fan, you know. I just wanted to go see a Major League Baseball game, right? So I go down there, and there's people all over the place wearing socks, you know. They got the black uniforms with the white socks and the letters, and they're supporting their team, and we're going down there, and we were in the upper deck. Felt like you're going to fall in the stadium if you leaned over and fall down on the field. And here we are up at the top, and we watch this game. Now, it's interesting to me, one of their former superstars, Frank Thomas, Hall of Famer now, he had left the White Sox and he had gone to the Oakland Athletics, and that's who they happened to be playing that night. And it was his first game back, and he hit a home run against his former team. They cheered him when he came up to bat. They weren't so happy when he rounded the bases. But I'm sitting there watching this. It was a great game. And it came down to the bottom of the ninth inning. And the Sox had been down a run, and they'd come back and tie the game up. And in the bottom of the ninth, they had a runner on third with one out. Batter comes up, and he puts down a suicide squeeze bunt. And racing home comes the runner as the pitch is coming from third base. And he slid across the base just as the ball was getting thrown back to the catcher, and he came right under the tag of the catcher, and they won on a suicide squeeze play. Now, I was never a White Sox fan in my life, but in that moment, I was screaming and yelling at the top of my lungs. I was going crazy. My friends and I were high-fiving. We were the biggest White Sox supporters. In that moment right there, we were identified with that team, right? We left the stadium, and we were hooping and hollering, and everybody else was, and I got home, and I thought, I wonder how the Braves are doing. So when we use the word identify with, we usually mean it to mean something that we put on or something we wear or we're showing support for, but when Paul's talking about we're identified with Christ, it's not just some symbolism. It is symbolism, but it goes much deeper. It goes much deeper than just some outward show. It goes to the very heart of who we are. What he says here is that, listen, I have been crucified with Christ. It's not just something that I just wear around on my sleeve and say, yeah, I'm a Christian. He's saying, no, what Jesus did for me, when I accepted by faith what he's done for me, something on the inside completely changed who I am. It completely changed my identity. As he would say in someplace else, that old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That he's made a new man, a new creature in Christ. That means he's traded the old Paul, something completely, totally different. And it's all based on who Jesus is and what he's done. He says, listen, when Jesus died on the cross, I died with him. You see that in verse 20? He says, I have been crucified. The moment that Jesus said it is finished and he breathed his last, when we say by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that we accept him as our personal Savior and then we follow it with the symbolism of baptism, what we're saying in that moment is that when Jesus died, when I accepted him by faith, the old me died right along with Jesus. He died for my sin. He took my sin and he took my old person and he took it to the grave. It was killed. It was done. It was finished. All that stuff is gone, removed. My sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. He has justified me. He's made me right in God's standing by doing that. Paul says, I have taken on a new identity. And that identity is that I have been crucified with him. That old man has been killed. Amen? But he doesn't end there. He says, not only was I crucified with him, that's in the past. But even right now, he lives in me. Look in verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, just as one book back. Paul plays this out, what this identity with Christ really means. What he's saying is that, what he's telling Peter is, listen, you're trying to identify with your Jewish roots. Paul's saying, no, I'm identified with Jesus. It's all about what he's done for me. Being identified with Christ means that that fact that Jesus died for you, was buried and rose again on the third day, and that you've placed your faith and trust in that, no matter what else, no matter what team you may support, no matter what else you enjoy, that fact right there as a Christian says that that is the most important thing in your life, that has completely changed and reoriented you from the inside. Your faith in Christ now identifies you as in union with Jesus. Praise God for that. All that Jesus is, all that he has done, you get credit for. Wow. Can you believe it? Now here's what Paul says. Verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For it is the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God, not of us. He's saying, what he's saying here is, we still live our day-to-day life. We're identified with Christ, but we still struggle from time to time. You ever struggle? You ever get discouraged? You ever get a feeling of despair? You ever struggle with temptation? You say, I'm a Christian. How can that be? Paul says, we're still living in this earthen vessel, but our identity is with Jesus. Look what he says here. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. It's not about what I do. It's about what Jesus has done. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Now think about this with me. Here's Paul, the guy that's been shipwrecked several times. The guy that's been stoned, that's been beaten, that's been thrown into prison, that's had opportunity after opportunity to say, too tough, this identifying with Jesus. It's too much suffering. And he's saying, time after time, there are times when I don't know what God's doing. You ever been there? He says, what? We're perplexed. But guess what? Because of his identity in Christ, we're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We may not know what God's doing, but we know he's still there and on the throne. Amen? That's what he's saying. We're persecuted, verse 9. But in the midst of our persecution, in the midst of the moment where we're thrown in jail, in the midst of the moment where people are attacking us, we're not forsaken. Why? We're struck down. Paul was beaten 40 lashes, 3 times, I believe. Once he was stoned and left for dead, he was struck down. But he says, we're not destroyed. How, Paul, can you go through all that? How can you go through difficult times in this life? He says, I can do it because the light of the glorious gospel has shone in my heart. because of his identity with Christ. Verse 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be made manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death works in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what it is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Now read verse 16 with me. Don't miss this. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Why? Even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. Paul's identity with Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection gave him a great, confident hope. He was certain of the fact that no matter what happened in this life, because I'm identified with Jesus, because he's taken my sin and he's given me his righteousness, and because he raised from the dead, they may kill me, but I'm going to raise too. Amen? That's the hope that drove him forward, no matter what happened. And it's the hope that can drive you forward, no matter what happens in this life. No matter what trouble comes your way, no matter what news you get from a far country that would bring despair, no matter what the doctor may say, if you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, your hope is not in you. Your hope is not in a doctor. And your hope certainly not in which team won today. Your hope is far greater. It goes much deeper. Your hope is in God. Amen. Paul says, I'm identified with the crucifixion of Christ, and it's now Christ who lives in me. So he says we're justified by faith. He says we're identified with Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That's the symbol of baptism. But finally, he says that we are sanctified by faith. Sanctification versus justification. Justification, really quick, is what Jesus did for us. It's been done, it's been complete, and it's over. It's settled. He has made you righteous because he's righteous. If you've placed your faith and trust in him, you have entered into Jesus' righteousness, and he's removed your sin. That's justification. Sanctification is the ongoing process of living day by day. It's the process of being conformed. You say, well, what about, you may walk down the road here and somebody say, I don't go to church because they're all full of hypocrites. You know what I'd tell them? You're right. We're a bunch of sinners. I'm a sinner. And guess what? You're a sinner too. My hope's not in what I do. My hope is in what Jesus has done. That's the reason I go. It's because of what he's done, not because of who I am. It's not because I'm trying to make myself better. No, Jesus has already saved me. It's because of what he's doing in me and what he wants to do through me. It's all by faith in him. That's what Paul is saying here in Galatians 2, verse 20. He says, the life that I now live. See, justification has already happened. It happened at the cross. And it was applied to you at the moment of salvation and faith when you placed your faith and trust in him. Sanctification is what's going on right now in your life. Is sanctification about your work? No, it's about God's work in you. He says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. I live by faith in the Son of God. You see it? I live the same way I was saved is the same way that I live day by day. I was saved by faith solely in Jesus. I live day by day solely in Jesus working in and through me. I live surrendered to Him, trusting in Him. That's what He calls us to. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you this morning? That's what Paul says. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. And that's based on two things that he points out. First of all, Paul says, I live my life day by day by faith in the Son of God with this knowledge. Jesus loved me. Now look up here real quick. You've been told that since you were a child, right? I just said Jesus loved you, and I got one person that smiled. You know why? We've been told it so much, we take it for granted. Right? Listen, Jesus loved you. Jesus loved you. The God of the universe looked at you and said, I'm going to place my love upon you. Ron, Jesus loved you. Lisa, Jesus loved you. Michael, Jesus loved you. And you and you and you. We could go around the room and spend the rest of the time saying, Jesus loved you. Paul says, I live my life based on that fact. Now, Paul took courage from that. You want to know why Paul took courage from that? Because he knew what he was. He knew I was a proud, arrogant scoundrel that wanted to earn my way to heaven by killing other people that didn't agree with me. Paul says, I was the chief of sinners, though he thought he was the best of all human living. But when he came to faith in Christ, he said, no, all that stuff that I thought I was doing good with, that's just a bunch of junk. It's only Jesus that matters. And so here Paul says, I can't believe it. The very one that I tried to stamp his name out, he loved me. He went to the cross for me. Scripture says, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. What was the joy? It wasn't just getting back to heaven. That's where he came from. The joy was redeeming you. He loved you. Does that impact your life today, Christian? Does that say, you wake up in the morning and you say, I'm facing all these things, but wait a second. Jesus loves me. He's proven his love for me by going to the cross and rising again, and now he gives himself freely to me. He offers himself freely to me. He loved me, Paul said. Second thing is, if you ever doubt God's love, all you have to do is look at the cross. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus proved his love by the greatest act of sacrifice ever. We're justified by faith. We're identified with Christ. And we live our life now completely by faith in Him. By faith in His love for us. By faith in His finished work. And by faith in the fact that He has promised never to leave us nor forsake us, and to complete what he started. Christian, you may mess up this afternoon. Jesus still loves you. You may mess up tomorrow. Jesus still loves you. You may get up this afternoon and you may do something wonderful. Was it you that did it? If it is, it doesn't mean anything. No, it's Jesus. It's his life empowering you, living through you day by day. There's a prayer I want to close with, if you would stand with me this morning. It's an old chorus. Well, it's not that old, actually. You see, Peter and all that gang that were there that day, they got caught up thinking that it was something that they did that made them better or more approved in God's sight. And what Paul was doing is he was pointing them back to the cross and saying, no, it's all about what Jesus did, and it's all about what he wants to do in and through you right now. This old chorus, I like it. It's a simple prayer. It says, Jesus be Jesus in me. Nothing of me, but thee. Resurrection power, fill me this hour. That's the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. Jesus, be Jesus in me. You see, what the world needs around us is not more of Nathan